Settle in for a half hour of conversation on radio literature. Here's your host, Melvin Hinton.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Radio Literature. Our program tonight is, in a sense, a continuation of last week's program when our guest was Charles Payne, author of the play The Classroom Ain't Enough, which will open on April 19th at Broome Street Theater. Charles Payne is the author of that play, and tonight we have two people associated with the actual performances. We have Matt Reines. I just learned today that I've been thinking his name incorrectly. I don't think I ever pronounced it aloud, but now I have it straight. Is that German?
Yeah, it's got a German roots to it.
Okay. If I'd known that, I would have known how to pronounce it. And then it probably would have been the other way around. You probably said, yeah, but my grandfather changed it to Reins or something.
It's one of those names that you always have to spell out because no one really knows how to spell it.
Oh, yeah. Do you speak German? Any German?
Beer.
Yeah. Oh, me. I love the German language, and whenever I say that, especially when I lived in Spain, people would just stare at me. They wouldn't know what to say because they just couldn't imagine anybody loving anything about the German language. And I would say, it's so beautiful. And then they would stare at me even more intensely. They would just wouldn't know what to say, how to respond. But anyway, I do. I think the German language is one of the most beautiful languages I've ever heard. It's not one of the languages. There was a point in my life when I considered myself to be trilingual, and German was not one of the languages. But when I started learning German, I really fell in love with it. Anyway, our guests are Matt Reines and Morgan D. Stewart. Now, Morgan, we met some time ago. What is it, like 2 years? No, longer than that.
I don't know. I think it was last summer, to be honest.
Just last summer?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was. Also, it was since the pandemic subsided. So, aren't you relatively new to Madison?
I am, yeah. So, I came here in 2019.
Okay.
Yeah, so, if that's new.
Okay. And what about you, Matt? How long have you been around?
I've been around since 1988, so it's been a while.
Oh, is that when you were born?
Yes.
Well, I came to Madison in 1999.
Oh,
there
I got you.
Go.
Yeah. So I love to say, too, when I lived in Spain, I taught English. And I did a lot of other things as well. But I would just confound my students sometimes when I would tell them, I said, you know, I've spoken, I spoke Spanish before you were born. And of course they would know how to respond to that. Oh, man.
I love that.
Nice.
So, Matt, you are directing this production, which will open on April 19th at the Broome Street Theater.
Yeah.
The Classroom Ain't Enough. Now, do you also have a role in the play? Or?
I don't, no. I'm just directing this one.
Okay. So how did this come about? Did you ask for it? Did they
I got really lucky. So Zach and Charles, Zach the producer and Charles Payne, reached out to me in August of last year to do a stage reading of it. Because the whole idea is that it's going to be an all non-white cast in production. And so they're putting feelers out around Madison and who could play like a black man. And I'm like, sure, I'll do it. They're going to pay some money. So I did it. We did the stage reading, and it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, my first time really reading these works and really getting to do them in front of a group of people, it was like really powerful and really fun. And so I wanted to act in it. And so I was kept bugging Zach and Charles, like, when are the auditions? And they were like, well, do you want to direct it? And I'm like, so you're saying I get to be all four? People? Like, yeah.
Now, yeah. How did they, had you worked with either one of them before? How did they know you existed?
My friend Stacy Garbarski and Michael Fleischman recommended me to Zach. So it's just like word of mouth and friends being friends.
Mm. Okay. So you had already read the play, of course, when you agreed to direct it. Will this be your first time directing, or have you directed before?
I directed The Birds with Sean back in October at Bartell Theater.
Is this the Greek play?
No, it's Connor McPherson's. It was like a take on the short story that Hitchcock also based it on.
It was really cool. I didn't think of Hitchcock, yeah.
Yeah, we did some really, really cool stuff with that one, so I'm really excited to bring some of that energy to this one.
Oh, yeah. So how long have you been acting?
9 years as of like 2 weeks ago in Madison. Yeah.
And how did that begin?
At Madison College, I did Romeo and Juliet, and I played Mercutio, and people seemed to like it, and so I just kept doing it.
Oh, okay. And who directed you? Do you remember?
Miranda Hawk.
Oh, Miranda.
Yeah. And we had an actual 15-year-old Romeo and a 15-year-old Juliet, so it's kind of a different take on what they do because they're actually teenagers.
Sweet.
Yeah, Miranda, she's wonderful.
Yeah.
I took her course in, I guess it's called Introduction to Acting.
Oh, sure, yeah. I can do that with her, too.
And I didn't do the last 2 weeks of the course because she recommended me to a play. They were having a hard time finding the casting, one of the last actors. So she recommended me, and I wanted to do it, but I didn't want to do it at the same time. But I ended up doing it. And
it's got to be an automatic A+ in that class.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really get a grade, but anyway.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's a very good teacher. Mm-hmm. That's Miranda Hawk, for those of you who are listening and who may want to go to Madison College and study acting or many other things. Of course, she's not teaching that course right now, but she taught it for a number of years.
Yeah, I think Karen Sari is teaching it right now.
Yes.
She's also wonderful, yeah.
Yeah, I've spoken to her. She'll have to come on this program soon.
Oh, I bet she'd love that.
Yeah. So, you did... You did Mercutio, and what was it about that experience that got you hooked on the theater?
I think it was just a lot of the character work. It was my first time in my life where I could be somebody different, and I realized that was like a craving of mine to just like explore other identities. Maybe it's just me projecting on air right now, but it was really cool for me to be able to take a classic role and then, plus I had good teachers, but just sort of expand on it and then become that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like freeing. When I was on stage doing some of that stuff, I just felt like I was like invincible.
Yeah. And did you have auditions after that? Once you agreed to direct or were there
for the classroom?
No, for this play.
For this play, yeah. We had open auditions back in December, and we had about 20 people show up. And I was so proud of Madison because as in the 9 years that I was acting, there's not a whole lot of black people that do theater in Madison for various reasons. And so I was a little worried that we weren't going to be able to fill the cast up, and we had 20 people, most who I've never seen before, show up. I was really, we did cast this show 3 times. We had so much talent in this. Yeah, it was really awesome to see.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And one of the people that you obviously cast was Morgan D. Stewart.
Yes.
And Morgan, where did you come from? Because we've already established that you did not originate here in Madison and that we met last summer. Yeah. I thought it was 3 or 4 years ago.
So I'm from Riverside, California. That's where I was born. So Southern California, kind of between San Diego and L.A. And then I went to acting school right after high school. So I went to AMDA, the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, for 2 years. And... yeah, then I sort of traveled around a little bit and landed here in Wisconsin in 2010, but I was further up north, like in the Kakana, Little Chute area. Then I lived in Oshkosh, and I did some community theater there. And I actually performed at UWO as like a guest artist, which was really fun. I had 4 days to learn an entire play, and, you know, it was exciting, but terrifying. And then since I moved to Madison, I hadn't been in a show. And so, kind of like Matt was saying, it's sort of like this craving that happens, like you just have to get on stage, I have to do it. And so I'm really glad that this came up and that Matt let me know about auditions and gave me a chance. And so, I'm super excited to be on stage again.
Yeah. Oh, so you already knew Matt then?
Yeah, we were friends, yeah.
Okay, so the play is The Classroom Ain't Enough. Opens on April 19th at Broome Street Theater. The director is Matt Reines. And we also have here Morgan D. Stewart, who is one of the actors in the play. Now, when you first read the play, both of you, what was your reaction? What was your immediate reaction? Because I haven't seen the play. I only know the title. And I have a vague idea of what it's about. From having talked to the author, But what was your immediate reaction? Yeah. This is something I really want to do, or yeah. I wonder?
Well, for me, it was the level of intensity. I was kind of blown away by some of the stories because, you know, in knowing that Charles has experienced some of these things, it was, you know, it's just kind of horrifying to think about, like, sort of the level of intensity that you would have to bring to the show to try to get the audience to feel that experience of being a teacher in these situations. So yeah, that was my initial reaction, like, whoa, this is intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, whoa, it's like exactly the kind of the same image that I had when I first read it. Because I used to teach, I was in the school district from 2006 to 2022. And so a lot of these pieces really resonated with me as someone that's been through it too. And I'm like, yeah, this happens. Like this, mm-hmm. I've had these same feelings that Charles has had, even though he wrote it when he was in Arizona. It still resonated with me in Madison. And so I was like, I just want to be in this just so I can say I did a play about teaching.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all three of us, I can imagine that some of my reactions will be similar to yours too, since I've been a student and a teacher all my life. Mm-hmm. And I've taught in so many different situations. I tell people when the subject comes up that my youngest student was 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And the oldest one that I can remember was, I think she was 80. And she was an outstanding student, a German woman who spoke English quite well. This was an American literature class in Madrid, Spain.
Oh, wow.
And and I remember she didn't return the next quarter because she contacted me and she let me know that the reason she wasn't coming is because her children told her that she was too old to be studying. Can you imagine such a thing?
That's awful.
Oh, it was awful. And she was such a good student. They were jealous. It's a pity when your children are jealous of you.
For learning, right?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
But anyway, has the author been involved in the production in some way, in any way?
Well, he's also producing it, so he's had a lot of say in the beginning of it. But he hasn't been to any rehearsals so far. We're going to start doing full runs of the show in 10 days, and I hope that he can make it to some of those, but he really hasn't been in the space, which is kind of, no offense to Charles or anything, but it is kind of nice to have a space where we can just work on the material.
Of course.
Because writers in the room can always, it adds an extra layer, right?
Yeah,
I've never had an experience where a writer's been, like, sort of present, and I know that Broom Street, because they work on new works, it's different, so this is an interesting new experience for me.
I think Charles trusts me, and I trust him, and I think that we have a really good relationship that way, so I'm really excited for him to see it.
Yeah. Can we have a short excerpt from the play?
Yeah, so because I'm directing it, I'm not going to be able to read this, so I'm kind of excited. I get to perform it at least once. This is going to be done by Asaya Doyle, who couldn't make it tonight. It's called Stop and Frisk. You ready? Mm-hmm. How old were you when you were first racially profiled by a cop? I was 16, a high school junior in Michigan, captain of my varsity basketball team, and an officer found a reason to pull me over in front of my house. Before I even attempted to pull out my license and registration, my mother ran out of the house. Out came his gun, and up went my hands. She made me and the officer aware of his power. She told us he could shoot me in the head in front of our house, and no one would say a thing because of my tank top. And the officer agreed with her. Told me to stop dressing like a criminal and let me off with a warning. My mother made me wear polos whenever I left the house from then on, as if dressing like Carlton Banks could disguise my black body. A decade later, I found myself with a master's degree, teaching at an expensive private school in Phoenix, Arizona, and still, a rent-a-cop security officer pulled his weapon on me in a FedEx parking lot. His car headlights shined so bright on my face, I dropped my orientation packets and my active shooter training took over. I raised my hands, I said my name, and I pointed to the staff ID on my work polo. I am blank blank. I work for blank school. I am a blanking teacher. There is no danger in this area. My hands are up. You may approach. There's no need to sweep and secure the space. The security officer screamed back,
"This is private property, boy. You do not belong here."
He lowered his weapon and approached, with the bright spotlight still burning my eyes.
Transient.
No! No. I am a customer walking to their car. He did not apologize for pointing a gun at me. Me? An unarmed FedEx customer? He never cut off his light. And I looked inside the window to see a black FedEx worker wiping away a single tear running down from his eye. Only to realize I was staring at a reflection of myself wearing one of those damn polos.
That is intense. I caught the reference to Carlton Banks. I hope some of our listeners caught it. Of course, that's from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Love that show.
Yeah. Yep. Once it's The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, that's right. What's the star's name of that show?
Will Smith?
Will Smith, yeah. Yes. And Carlton Banks was played by...
Alfonso
something has a Brazilian last name. Yeah. He's been in a lot of different television programs lately. Well, over the last 4 or 5 years. Anyway, as actors, who are your models? I mean, who do you think of when you think of the outstanding practitioners of your?
That's hard.
Really?
I have so many favorites, but...
But I mean, people that you think, they are the ones who really know how to do this. Because you like a lot of people, but there are people that you may like, but you may not think of them as being the people who have mastered the craft. I'm thinking of people that you think of as having mastered the craft.
Yeah.
As being, they could be gurus to actors.
I think Daniel Day-Lewis, for sure.
Who?
Daniel Day-Lewis,
of course.
His commitment to character is incredible.
Yeah.
And I love, in terms of, female actors, I always look at Kate Winslet. I look at Marion Cotillard.
Who is French, by the way.
Yes. But I feel like, in La Vie en Rose, she really did transform herself. Mm. And her husband, who's a director, who directed her before, said something like, there are actors who will look in the mirror and then contort their face and practice their, fake voice and try to pretend they're someone else. Yeah. And he said, she never does that. Mm. She really goes in, as this other person.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
I wish I could think of the name of the other French actress. She's older than Cotillard, but to me, she is just the epitome of what an actor does.
Is it Juliette Binoche?
No, it's another one. Oh. I guess she's another one that's very famous for being, a real practitioner of the craft. I was going to remember her name, but I remember the first time, I want to go into that, but anyway, it's too bad I can't remember her name because and she says that she's never watched any of her movies. She's been making movies for the last 50 years.
I love that too.
And she said she watched one because she was there and she couldn't leave and they showed it, right. But she said other than that, she's never watched a single one of her movies.
Yeah.
She says after they've made... She doesn't want because there's nothing she can do about anything now.
Yeah.
So she has no interest in. She loves the doing. She loves the performing. And once it's over, she didn't want to sit and look at herself.
Yeah, and it's like that with theater too, I think. And I feel like I'll be remiss to just name white actors.
Mm.
So people like Angela Bassett also, I think, is really she's kind of very masterful and very just so powerful in terms of her delivery.
Oh, yeah. Lupita Nyong'o is kind of a newer one too that I'm in love with.
Who?
Lupita Nyong'o.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, she's just so fabulous.
And you mentioned Denzel Washington earlier.
Yeah.
I would put Denzel Washington in that category.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And Will Smith and Ali. There's some other ones that he does a lot to transform.
The craft behind it all.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx too. He's funny, but he can change. He changes it up.
Speaking of Jamie Foxx, did either of you ever see this show that was canceled because the star said something stupid to or about the producers or something? It was the Carmichael show. What's his name? Carmichael.
That sounds familiar, but I can't
put it. He hosted one of those award shows last year or the year before. And some people thought he was funny, but I didn't particularly like it. And he's been on the talk shows lately.
Is he like younger?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I can picture his face.
And he came out, you know, as gay about a year ago or something like that.
Oh my God, what is his name?
And something Carmichael.
Yeah, something Carmichael.
And the two actors on that played his parents, one is Loretta Devine, and the other, the actor, that's what I'm trying to think of. I loved Loretta Devine too, but I was thinking of this actor. I never knew he was so good as a black actor. And I can't think of his name. But anyway, the one who played Carmichael's father in that short-lived sitcom, The Carmichael Show, I thought, this man is a great actor. Oh. And I hadn't seen that much of his performances, but he's really great.
Cool.
Okay, yeah. So... the time just gets away from us so quickly. So when I'm sure at some point the author will come to see how, you know, how, what, especially since he's also the producer, to see, you know, how the production is progressing. Will you be nervous on that day, his first visit?
Maybe more excited than nervous.
Okay.
I know that it is Charles's baby, so I'm sure he has his own opinions on it. But when we had our first initial meetings, like I said, the amount of love and trust that he gave me sort of makes me feel empowered that I can kind of just, we can do our own thing with it, and Charles is going to love it no matter what.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you speak any other languages besides English?
I can stumble through Spanish, but I won't do it.
Okay. And what about other interests besides going on stage and memorizing scripts? Do you have time for anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love, so I like to make film too, and I want to be a producer as well. So that's kind of what I try to do in my spare time is write, and then, you know, I want to try to get some of these movies made in my lifetime. So that's what I spend a lot of time doing. Yeah.
I went to school to be a writer, so writing books is always something that's on my back burner.
Mm.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school for this?
I graduated from Madison. UW.
As an undergraduate or?
Yeah, just my bachelor's.
Oh, okay.
I can't justify getting my master's quite yet with an MFA just because I'm not making money off my bachelor's doing it. Why spend my money?
Well, of course, the MFA programs in writing have come under a lot of criticism in recent years, by people who have not gone through them and many people who have gone through
them. Yeah, I've seen some of those articles. I'm like,
The one good thing for a master's degree, though, is that you can teach at that higher level.
That. That's 100%.
Yeah, I got my master's in media studies, and I was able to sort of float it over when I was at UWO. And I was like, I don't know, just trying to see if I can do something. And I was able to teach. But at that degree, that's one good reason again.
So let's see. I had another question here. I was wondering if you have a piece that you could do in, let's say, 3 minutes or so.
Yeah, I think I can do this one in 3 minutes, you think? Sure. Yeah. Okay. This one's called Pomegranate. It was my first year teaching at a charter school in Phoenix. It was late afternoon, and I was in the school parking lot where my car was, ready to go home, when I heard screams.
Help, miss, help!
I looked up and saw my eighth grade student Johanna's long jet black hair being pulled by the wind as she sprinted towards me. And a grown-ass man in a souped-up Kia Rio driving beside her with his arm out the window trying to snatch her. My heart dropped, knowing that Arizona is one of the top states for missing persons. And I was sick because there is no way that I was letting Johanna get taken. So I had mere seconds. I had to fight, flight, or freeze. So punch drunk with adrenaline, angry as a mama bear, I grabbed a tire rod out of my trunk and I sprinted towards Johanna to put myself between her and the car. We slowly backed up together around the iron gates of our school to the front door, but the front door is locked. Dude then drove up to the front of our school like he was there for parent pickup.
His horn blared at me. I didn't flinch. Then, dude pulled out a machete from under his seat. Still, I didn't flinch. My heart was racing because I was irate. And the only thing on my mind was to attack him before he had a chance to touch my student. We spent 5 minutes looking longingly into each other's eyes. Dude must have either seen the crazy in my eyes or my frame is bigger than it actually was because he left. He sped off. 5 short minutes later, after dude's car was way out of sight, the school leader unlocked the front door and came out to help. He told Johanna to go inside and call her dad. After she went in, the school leader proceeded to say to me,
"Miss P, I gotta write you up for that. I know this is your first year teaching and all, but what I saw from the office was reckless and risky. Next time, just let the police handle it."
The police? I was absolutely gutted by the fact that, one, this man knew nothing about the neighborhood the kids and I live in, and two, that my school's relationship to missing students was something only they had the privilege to experience at arm's length. His words cut me so bad. Knowing there were hundreds of missing students was way too real for me to ignore. But I licked my wounds until I could hand Johanna off to her dad. And 10 long minutes later, her dad shook my hand with wet eyes that would haunt me all night.
So you've been listening to Matt Reines and Morgan D. Stewart, who are, well, Matt is the director, and Morgan will be one of the performers in The Classroom Ain't Enough, which opens on April 19th at the Broom Street Theater. And maybe we have time for one more question. And that is there any role or a play that you have thought about for a long time that you would like to do that you haven't done already?
I want to grow my hair out and be like a Harry Macbeth.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's funny. I would say Shakespeare, too. And you know what's great is I've always wanted to play Mercutio.
Oh, you're so good at that.
I would love to do that. Just do like sort of a gender reversal, you know, like she's into Romeo, but I don't know. Or maybe not. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out. That'll we'll be for next year.
Yeah,
we'll call up Jason.
Yeah, Shakespeare for sure, though. It sounds for both of us. Yeah, you'd be great as Macbeth. Do you do the brogue, the Scottish brogue?
Oh, no, it'd be... No, it'll be deep and dark. I got ideas, but that won't be for a while.
Okay.
The hair has to come first.
The hair.
So it's I'm surprised that you didn't do any theater while you were at the UW, or did I miss something?
I was doing theater at the Bartell Theater, not for UW-Madison, but
You were a student at the
So I had a lot of stuff going on for that.
Okay.
That's where I met. So Madison has such a cool community of theater. There's so many good people.
Yeah. Is there any director here in Madison that you haven't worked with that you'd like to work with? I'm not asking you who your favorite directors are. I'm just asking, is there anyone, one or two, that you can think of?
I would love to work under Dana Palaban. If she ever has time to direct again and she's casting a play, I'll be the first one to audition.
Yeah.
I think that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, I must. I don't know why she has never been on this program, but I hope that she will come and talk to us soon. Even if she's not directing anything, she's one of those people that doesn't have to have something coming up to be on the radio or on television or whatever. Our time is up, unfortunately. Matt Reines and Morgan D. Stewart go starting April 19th at the Broom Street Theater. The Classroom Ain't Enough, and we'll see you there soon. Cool. And we'll see you again, listeners, next week.
Thanks, Melvin.
Thank you, Melvin.
You've been listening to Radio Literature, a weekly program on WORT 89.9 FM Madison. We are listener-sponsored community radio. Join us again next Thursday at 7:30 for more features of local, national, and international interest.
passionate about community music and local voices? I'm Jay Davis, and I'm thrilled to share an exciting opportunity with you.
I'm Tom Davis, a proud member of the programming committee at WORT. We're the heartbeat of Madison, shaping the airwaves with diverse, engaging, and community-driven content. But to keep the beats flowing, we need your help.
Since you're listening to WORT right now, you may be aware of this, but this is more than just a radio station. It's a platform for local expression, a hub for artists, and a stage for community voices. Join our programming committee and become a driving force behind what goes on our airwaves.
Whether you're into music, news, culture, or something entirely unique, we want your voice in the mix.
Visit our website at wortfm.org/programming-committee, or you can email me directly with j.davis@wortfm.org, and we can start the conversation.
WORT, where your voice matters.
Midnight. Heads turning as a light flashing out a sober.